Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to Astro Q&A with Hope Decay. Question one.
Why are there 12 signs in the zodiac and not 13 or 341.8? Well, the easiest way to explain is to use a clock. The circle of the clock represents space. The hour hand represents the sun, which moves more slowly through space than the minute hand, which represents the moon. If we start with both hands at the 12 o'clock position and let them move, then mark the sun's position every time the moon comes back to 12 o'clock, we'll wind up with 12 marks, creating 12 divisions of space. And that's why we have 12 hours on the clock, 12 months in a year, and 12 zodiac signs, 12 divisions of the ecliptic. Yes, it's true that there's not exactly 12 lunar revolutions in one solar revolution. There's not exactly 12 months in one year, but it's very close. So we slightly idealize the thing to make it just perfect. So you can see the signs are not created by constellations, as the sidereal theory claims. The signs are created by the rhythm and harmony in the dance between the sun and the moon and the earth.
Question two.
Why is every sign the same size? Well, now that you know why there's 12, you also know why they're all the same size. The reason is that the divisions are created by the interactive rhythms of the sun and the moon, and the sun and the moon both basically move at a very steady pace. So again, we see that these constellations do not create the signs. Yes, there are constellations in the sky that have the same names as the signs and are named in the same order because they were named at a time when they roughly corresponded to the sun's location in those signs. But that doesn't mean that those constellations created the signs. If those constellations did create the signs, then number one, there could be any number of them. Number two, there's actually 13, by the way that we are currently popularly dividing them. There's actually 13 on the ecliptic. Number three, all of them are different sizes. All those constellations are different sizes. So if those constellations really did create the zodiac, then there should be probably 13, and they should all be different sizes to match the sizes and number of the constellations that we actually put up there. But that's not the case. We have 12 signs, and they're all equal size, and that matches the tropical theory of what the zodiac is.
Question three.
Why do certain planets rule certain signs? Well, as you've seen, the signs are divisions of space, so they're places. People use space. People use places. We live in places, and we use their resources to accomplish our goals. That's exactly what the planets do with the signs. Just like you have your own room, you have your own apartment or house or whatever, in the same way, every planet has its own division of space, its own zodiac sign. And just like we customize and decorate our rooms and our houses to match our personalities, the planets do exactly the same thing with the signs. They cultivate their signs so that they match the planet's own inherent symbolism. But the question actually is, why do certain planets rule certain signs? So it starts with the sun and the moon. They're by far the brightest of all the astrological planets, so they're considered to be the king and the queen. They control the land. They control the property in space. They take the two prime spots in the zodiac. We call these spots Leo and Cancer. They're the prime spots because they're the highest real estate in the zodiac. They're the highest because they're the abode of the sun when it's the highest or furthest north in its dance with the equator. Now, one by one, in order of their speed, each one of the planets comes to the king and the queen to beg a parcel of land. Mercury is fastest, so Mercury gets there first, and the sun and the moon give Mercury the first divisions nearest to the king and the queen, which is Gemini and Virgo. Venus comes next and gets the next divisions, Taurus and Libra. Mars comes after Venus and gets the next divisions, Aries and Scorpio. Then Jupiter gets the next divisions, Pisces and Sagittarius. And finally, the slowest planet, Saturn, gets the last remaining divisions, Aquarius and Capricorn. Now you may be wondering about the modern idea of Uranus and Neptune and Pluto and they own this and that sign. Well, I'll explain why I don't use these planets at the end of this episode. But for now, you can already see a reason why I don't bother with these planets, because look how perfect it already is. It's perfectly rational and balanced without having to add new cooks to the kitchen. One important thing to see here is that the sensibility of which planet owns which sign is based on the fact that the Sun and the Moon own Leo and Cancers. So why should they own Leo and Cancer and not some other sign? Well, we said because they're the highest, they're the best real estate. The King and the Queen take the best. So what makes Cancer and Leo the highest spot? Only the fact that the Sun is furthest north of the equator when it's in Leo and Cancer, which is a tropical consideration. If the zodiac was created by constellations, then Leo and Cancer are not permanently farther north or south of the equator than any other sign would be at some point in history. So it would make no sense.
Question 4.
Fire, earth, air, and water. What determines which sign is which element? Okay, I explain this in detail in my classes and in my upcoming book, The Essential Symbols of Astrology. But right here, right now, I'll try to answer them real quickly, at least to mention the key points. The elements are associated with the four cardinal directions. The four cardinal directions are associated with the four cardinal signs. So therefore, a particular element is associated to a particular cardinal sign. And then step 3, the pattern of which cardinal sign has which element is repeated in the zodiac to determine the element for all of the signs. Okay, that was really fast, so I could give you a little bit more detail. First, let's talk about which elements go to which direction. Fire is Dharma. Dharma is the element of the east, where the sun rises, makes everything clear, shows the true dharma of things, shows the true nature of things. Air is calm. Calm is the west. In the west, the sun sets, the breeze comes, and we relax, we stop working, we enjoy calm. Earth is art. Art is the south. The south is synonymous with down, and down is where the earth is, and from the earth comes all kinds of wealth and goodness, which is artha. Then finally, water is moksha, and moksha is the north, which is synonymous with up, which is like heaven. So it's synonymous with moksha, enlightenment. Next, let's talk about how the cardinal signs correspond to the directions. Cancer is the northern sign because it stands where the sun is furthest north of the equator. And that's why Cancer has the element of the north, which is water. Capricorn is the southern sign because it stands where the sun is the most south of the equator. And that's why Capricorn has the southern element, earth. Aries is the eastern sign because it stands where the sun rises above the celestial horizon, which is the celestial equator. So that's why Aries has the eastern element, fire. And Libra is the western sign because that's where the sun sets below the celestial horizon. And so it has the western element, air. Now the pattern that you get from these four cardinal signs having their four elements is the pattern that determines the elements for the rest of the signs. So the pattern is fire, earth, air, water. You can read it like that. And then you just repeat this pattern through the zodiac. So the pattern of the elements in the sign should be fire, earth, air, water, fire, earth, air, water, fire, earth, air, water. And that's exactly what it is. Now, once again, all of this makes really great sense, but only makes sense if the zodiac is anchored to the cardinal directions, which is exactly what the tropical theory states. If the zodiac instead is constellations of stars, as the sidereal theory states, then there's no rationale, there's no reason why there should be any element for any particular sign.
Question 5.
What determines whether a sign is cardinal, fixed, or dual? Well, the modality of a sign is determined by the way the sun moves when it's in that sign. So first of all, there's four quadrants of space, which are determined by the four cardinal directions. Whenever the sun enters a cardinal sign, it enters a new quadrant. And so it begins a new journey to a faraway goal. For example, when the sun comes above the eastern horizon in Aries, then it starts to move to the peak of the northern hemisphere, which it will achieve only at the beginning of Cancer. So it comes to a new place, sets off in a new direction to an ambitious far-off goal. That's why cardinal signs represent ambition and new directions. Then whenever the sun leaves a cardinal sign, it's going to go into a fixed sign. While it's in a fixed sign, it remains loyal and fixed on its current direction. That's why fixed signs symbolize loyalty and steadfastness and not changing. For example, when the sun gets out of Aries, it comes into Taurus. In Aries, it started moving towards the northern peak. And in Taurus, it just keeps going in that same direction. It's fixed. It stays fixed. Now, whenever the sun leaves a fixed sign, it always enters a dual sign. And in a dual sign, it does two things. That's why it's called dual. One, it completes its current mission. And then two, it looks forward to the next. So that's why dual signs symbolize multiple interests, a balance between things, and the capacity to change or be flexible, or change one's commitments. That's why the modalities symbolize the things they symbolize, and that's why certain signs have certain modes. Once again, this logic is totally clear, but it only works if the zodiac is anchored to the cardinal directions, as the tropical theory states. It does not work at all if the zodiac is made out of stars and has no permanent relevance to the cardinal directions, which is what the sidereal theory states.
Question 6.
What do you got against the modern planets? Why don't you use Uranus? Uranus? I thought you should use your head, not Uranus. Seriously though, there's four reasons why I don't use modern planets in astrology. First of all, I believe that the ancients were more in tune with the divine than we are. And so I believe that they would develop a better system of divination than we would. And that's why I prefer the ancient systems to the modern hybrids of those ancient systems. Second reason, the theories of the ancient and classical astrology are already perfectly balanced. They're already perfect. So to me, introducing modern planets is like putting new colors onto the Mona Lisa. The third reason, astrology is built on observational astronomy. It's all about the way the heavens look to us on Earth. Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, and a multitude of all the other stuff that people use in modern astrology are not a part of observational astronomy because you cannot observe them when you look up at the sky. So, since they're not a part of observational astronomy, they should not be a part of the charts that you cast, because the charts that you cast are charts of observational astronomy. And the fourth and most important reason, astrology is a way that the divine universe communicates with us. It's a symbolic body language, it's a sign language, you could say, through which Mother Nature speaks to us and offers us wisdom and guidance. She would not speak to us using symbols that most of humanity throughout most of history could not even see. Speaking to us through symbols that we couldn't even see, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and far out things, would be like talking to you with a frequency that the human ear can't perceive. What would be the point?
Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, like, and share, and leave a comment below. You can ask your questions there too. And please visit my website, vicdecara.com, for readings, classes, books, links to my Facebook and blog, and all kinds of stuff.